This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. On a Saturday morning, I'm Captain Mickey Eastman. Producing the Outdoor Show is Jace. All right. Weather, let's get to it. Galveston, 80 degrees this morning down on the island. Feels like 85, they say. And then today, partly cloudy, a stray shower or thunderstorm is possible with a high around 85. South winds 15 to 25. And sometimes I just, reading this off is just, I don't agree with it. How about that? Tonight looks like clear to partly cloudy skies with a low of near 75. Winds west-southwest 10 to 20. And then for tomorrow, sunny, high of 83. North-northeast winds 10 to 20. Is that... That weak front gets through here, changes the wind and air and everything else. So that'll be welcoming. Be nice anyway. Tides for today, these are Galveston Channel tide predictions. We're on a four-tide schedule. We had a high just occur at 3:30 a.m. at the Galveston Channel. It was a 1.6. We have a low coming up at 9:44 a.m., a 1.0. A high at 3:23 p.m., a 1.6. And then a low at 9:49 p.m., an 0.9. And looking at current conditions, looks like right now we have a south-southeast wind at 8 to 11 miles an hour down in Galveston there at the Galveston Channel, 81-degree air, 83-degree water. And at Eagle Point, it is 81 degrees with 80-degree water, south-southeast wind 14 to 16. And Morgan's Point is 79 degrees with 80.6-degree water, east-southeast wind 10 to 14, barometric pressures hanging there at about 29.8 inches. So that's pretty much where we stand on weather and tides and all that. And let's slide over east of town and go check in with Captain Bill Walker and see what he's up to this morning. Good morning, Bill. What's going on?
Well, how's the weather going? I didn't catch that part.
Just warm. Just warm.
Just warm, okay.
Yeah, warmed up. Got
no rain
coming
yet
tonight, so it we'll get a little bit of a change. Yeah, I didn't get any measurable. I didn't get even a drop. I don't know. Some people might have got a little bit yesterday, but boy, that forecast went south in a heartbeat.
Well, I didn't even see any rain yesterday at all over my way.
Yeah.
So that was a non-event, but
false alarm.
Well, we did real good yesterday. Oh shoot! I can't drop you on the floor.
Is that what happened to me?
Yeah.
Wonder why my head's hurting all of a sudden.
Yeah, anyway, we did, I think we had 18 trout yesterday and one nice keeper red and had to throw back an 18-inch flounder. That made everybody cry.
Yeah, because the Louisiana flounder season closed the other morning, so.
Yep, closed 15th.
The 15th, yes, sir. That's not good.
Yeah, we had to, I thought that fellow was going to go down in tears.
Yeah.
I said, man, you can't keep that fish. He said, what? I said, yeah. Louisiana's closed their season on the 15th. He said, oh, man.
I bet. That's not good.
Nobody likes to throw a flounder back.
No.
But I had a fellow sent me a picture of a 22-inch flounder yesterday. And I said, did you keep that thing? He said, well, yeah. I said, don't you know that Louisiana season is closed? Oh, man.
Didn't even know it.
He didn't even know it.
Slipped my mind.
Well, they put up some signs last year at all the ramps, but they didn't do it this year. So.
Man.
I don't know if they're serious about it or not, but I'm not going to keep one.
One way to find out, get checked by the game warden and have some planter in your box. That'll tell you.
Yeah, just confront the man.
Yeah.
I call him the booger.
Boogeyman?
The boogeyman. Yeah, that's right.
You know, it's weird. Man. People get more nervous and scared when a game warden checks them than they do when a cop pulls them over. I've never seen anything like it. If you hadn't done anything wrong or everything's legit with your boat, I mean, there's no reason to be there. I know I just can't help it. I'm a nervous wreck when they pull up to me and get in my boat and start looking all through all my stuff.
And they tend to do that, especially the Texas wardens. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
They'll scare you to death.
Like that old meme. That game warden asked that guy, said, was there anything in this boat that shouldn't be? And he said, yeah, you. I like that. That's pretty funny. That's a good one.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that's funny. That's right. But, we did find some trout yesterday. They were still deep. I went up a bayou and we caught some trout 17 foot deep. I mean, right on the bottom. I think that there was a little bit of boat traffic involved. They're laying a pipeline up in the north and got all kind of boat traffic. I saw a little bit of bird activity, but, you know, it was pretty busy up there yesterday.
Yeah.
I put in at Deep Bayou and ran all the way up to Black's Bayou and found a few fish up there. Got screamed at by a maniac woman. I couldn't even believe that. It's been a long time since I've been yelled at.
What did
at.
You do, or what did she think you did?
Well, I idled into the mouth of Black's Bayou, and there was a boat at least 50 yards from me. I'm not close to them at all. Right. And everybody's coming and going through the mouth of Black's, you know. They're just running through there. But I idled up there and eased around, and I was looking for fish down deep.
Right.
And sure enough, I saw a wave of shrimp down there. I said, okay, here we go. And I patrolled motor over and locked it up. And I could barely hear somebody. I'm hard of hearing anyway. I could barely hear somebody screaming at the top of their voice. I said, who is that yelling at me? And they said, it's that woman over there in that boat. And finally, I could understand what she said. She said, you're fishing where I'm fishing. Get out of my water. And then she said, I'm calling the game warden. I responded to that.
My goodness.
Well, yes, ma'am. Go ahead and call him. I couldn't even believe it.
Yeah.
Some people just have anchor management issues. There was two guys in the boat with her, and they never said a word.
Well, they were probably embarrassed.
They had to be. I've not been screamed at like that.
You know, you got areas that you run these bayous, and I know everybody's responsible for their wake and all that. But you got areas where they come out into the bay, you know, for instance, like over at Fort Anahuac Park.
If somebody's
fishing the mouth of that, and you're coming out of there, and that it gets so shallow once you come out of the lagoon there into the bay, you can't stop and idle by somebody. I mean, you know, if you're going to fish on the freeway, you just got to figure you're going to get run over. That's part of it. And you can't shut a boat
down.
You have to come out of there on plane. And, you know, there's a lot of areas like that. You know, the mouth bios, you know, when you're running out of there, somebody's fishing there, well, you can't shut it down and idle by them or you'll be on bottom.
Yes, that's true. It's just, you know, there's no need for that.
It goes a long way. A lot of people don't have it.
And I mean, I'm serious. I idled way up.
Yeah, and you could have been like everybody else and just run over, just stay on plane.
Yeah, they were just roaring through there.
Roll wake all over. I mean, seriously?
Yep.
Hey,
I didn't yell back at her.
No, it's not
worth it. No point to that.
No.
I'm way on beyond that anymore.
What's the old saying? When you argue with a fool, you become one yourself.
That's exactly right.
Sounds kind of blunt, but it's really the truth.
Yeah, we had, getting to the better part of it, we had three trout that were right around, hovering around 3 pounds. They were some
fatties. Those are fatties.
Pretty lake fish, you know, resident trout. And I'm going to go right back and do that again today. But I got in one bayou, and I think we probably caught probably 12 out of that bayou, and they were all 12 foot down over 13 foot.
That's crazy.
Right on the bottom, and there was nobody running around in that bayou, nothing.
Right.
Now, I have no idea why they wanted to be so deep. But, hey. It is what it is.
Yeah, usually September, like mid-September to late September, you know, the bayous are pretty good. Now, that's on a normal fall, and then we start getting all these fronts, and a lot of those better fish that are in those areas, they dump with the shrimp and get on the flats and out, you know, the deeper flats in the bay. So we're just we're running about a month behind on that.
I saw one flock
staged up, and you know our water quality is good. We have salt water everywhere, but a lot of them are just hung up and won't move north. They're just, I guess they got plenty to eat, and there's no point in it.
Yeah, I suppose so. And one of my friends was out yesterday, and they chased redfish, and they caught, I think they caught 10 slot reds.
Oh, awesome.
Just really, that was by choice. They were just covering a lot of water, and you know they'd throw those paddle tail jigs and just slow roll it,
right?
Not twitching it or anything, and they were catching them. They did real well. I think they only kept a couple, but they were pretty successful in the head.
Paddle tail slow rolling like that's working on reds right now. Popping cork with a gulp under, it's working big time. Well, live shrimp better, you know, if you want to mess with that. And the bull redfish are stealing the show right now, you know, for the most part. Everybody's catching reds everywhere.
And yeah.
A month ago, everybody's going, where's all the slot redfish at? What's the deal?
Yeah.
Catching one a day.
I couldn't find them.
You know, yeah. A lot of people.
I couldn't get any of all we were catching was a few oversized. And once I moved up into the lake, I had checked that lake several times.
Right.
I'd run all the way up around Blue Buck and go up the shoreline, and I could not find any redfish, no slots, no nothing. And a friend of mine called me about 3 days later, and he said, them redfish are all over the shorelines. I said, you're kidding me.
They just showed up.
I said, where? He said, about mid-lake.
Here today, gone tomorrow. Hang on, Bill. Let me knock this break out right quick. I'll come right back at you, bud. All right. Well, folks, come out to the Galveston Fishing Extravaganza. That's at the Galveston County Fairgrounds. It's going on right now. It started yesterday right there in Hitchcock, Texas. And you can go out today, the 18th. From 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., and then tomorrow on October 19th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. boats, vendors, food trucks, kids zone, RVs, and more, with free parking and $10 wristbands. They're good for all weekend long. The Galveston Fishing Extravaganza, don't miss it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. All right, it's 419. Okay, Bill, we are back, my friend.
I'm back here with you, buddy.
Yeah, we were talking about redfish and, you know, how there's just a lot of reds being caught right now. Bull reds just being caught all up and down the beach and the bays. It's going on. It's crazy.
Yeah, there's a lot of redfish in the surf. Oh, good grief.
Yeah.
But I don't fish for those. Hopefully I won't have to do that again. Once you get a hold of one of those, it's a 20-minute fight on light tackle.
Right.
I used to do it. Oh, my goodness. We'd go on the pier and on the surf and set up.
When bad weather would roll in the fall and the surf was rough and muddy and nasty and everybody's nuking bull reds.
That's right.
The worse the weather got, the better the fishing got.
And I think they've even got more bull reds now than they used to have.
Yes, I'll second that. I'll vouch for that. I mean,
we'd have some runs down there on the pier. We'd get out there and water would be poking up through the cracks. You know, yeah. The waves would
waves
come in.
That big, yeah.
And we'd be out there fishing. If anybody had fell off in that, it'd been curtains.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, out there in the black dark. I remember one night, old boy had an 11.5-foot surf stick. We used to make them custom made back then.
Mm-hmm.
We'd make our own. And this old boy had a sand weight on there, and he rocked back and forth and rocked back and forth. And when he come over with that thing, and he is a big old strong boy, that line snapped, pow! And everybody's waiting to see where that sinker was going to fall.
Probably.
I mean, there's a 9-aught hook, a 9-aught hook, and a mullet head, you know, and that thing is just gone in the dark. And we're all standing around looking at each other, and that thing come down right between us and hit on that pier floor, kawam! And man, I mean, all that leader and steel leader and 9-aught hook, mullet head piled up right in the middle of it, and we all just went, whew, dodged a bullet that time.
Boy, you ain't kidding. That would have killed
us. That would have killed us, man.
Yeah.
Oh.
You talking about those sand weights, the ones with the wire coming out of them so they dig in?
Yes, sir.
Like an anchor?
Yes.
Yeah.
And those were homemade too.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, you put that thing out there and it would hold.
Long casting.
Oh yeah, man. I watched a guy, he had a pin squitter one night, and he threw all the line off of it. That boy was some kind of stout. He had shoulders like, you know, Godzilla. And he come over with that thing, and I watched that spool go down, and bam, and it spun backwards. The reel handle spun backwards.
Wow.
Oh, man, yeah. I said, okay, you're the long cast champion right now. They used to have competitions doing that.
Yeah, they used to do that. I knew a guy, he's been passed for a long time, but he was into that casting contest stuff like that, long casting and accuracy, and oh, he was something else.
Yeah.
He could do more with a rod and reel than a monkey could with a 12-foot vine.
Yeah, there you go. I heard somebody cast one over the Astrodome one time.
Yeah, he was involved in that. He didn't do it, but one of the competitors did.
Yeah, that's pretty strong.
All the time.
Yeah, I can't remember that fellow's name that won that contest that time. But anyway, there's a lot I don't remember anymore. You know, you've heard that I've forgotten more about fishing Sabine Lake than most people, you know.
Yeah, right.
And I can actually say that now because I have forgotten a lot of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I try to reach in those dark recesses and pull stuff out like that, and it's in there somewhere, but, you know, like when we used to have big trout.
Yeah, I can remember those days.
Yeah, buddy.
You don't remember those pencil trips, but you remember those big trout trips.
Yeah, pencil
My
trips.
My God, we had a lot of them. Man, it was such a... We were just blessed. We were born at the right time.
Yes, we were. And we had good tackle and made it happen.
Yeah, starting out it was a little inadequate, but...
Yeah, it was.
Just from... I look back to what I fished with as a kid and where we're at now, it's just different as night and day. Man, the technology and the stuff we have is just crazy.
Yeah, I've got pictures.
Surprised we have any fish left.
I've got pictures of customers with 7 to 9 pluses, and oh man, just, you know, and that hadn't been that long ago, but
it hasn't.
It's not that way now. And I don't know if we'll ever grow our way out of the problem or not. But every time I see a 19 to 21 inch trout, I get excited.
Well, they're just teenagers to young adult trout that, man, if they just get through the system, they'll grow to be big.
Yeah, there's some good ones out there, but it's not likely that I'll ever see one again.
You never know. You might stumble up on one of those unicorns. I mean, there's some swimming around out there, but there's just so many other fish, smaller fish, you know, it's hard to get to those in a lot of cases.
That's for sure. Well, buddy, I have got to go. I've got to get dressed and head out of here.
Head out.
So, yeah.
Hit the road, Jack.
Yep. 2 more days, and then I think I'm going to have to shut it down for a little while. I'm not sure. I got a guy waiting on the 28th, and I might have surgery that day.
What, do you got to have another treatment, or?
Oh, shoot, I got to have surgery now.
Oh, no.
And yeah.
One of my...
Yeah, but I've got a really good doctor. So,
well, that's good. It pays to have a good one. So what kind of surgery are you talking about? Is it like a 6-month downtime, or, I mean?
No, he said I can be up within a week.
Kind of like microsurgery or something? What are they going to mess with, your hip or your back or what?
Well, my back. And that last procedure I had didn't work, and he sent me to a specialist. And this guy's really good, so he's going to go in and make some more room for my spinal cord. That's what caused me to have some problems every morning. But, by the mid-morning, I'm straightened up and going.
Yeah,
but then I've got the hip problem.
After you sleep all night, you're stove up, huh?
Oh, man, yeah. But I have found out that people are willing to help you to go fishing.
Yeah. Oh, you can't get them. You can't deter a man's fishing. You got to help him out.
No.
Hunting and fishing, we got to.
Oh, yeah. And I get people that get in the boat now that are my age and older, and they're real decrepit, and I have a lot of patience with them because I'm there, you know.
And, yeah, I understand.
I had some guys the other day that were 75 to 80, and they were stronger and better shape than I was.
Well, it depends on the kind of life they've led, too. I mean, when you... You know, I watched Randy Johnson walk out on the field the other night, throw out the first pitch, and he's like 61 now, and he's, you know... Sports took his toll on him. I mean, he was kind of limping a little bit, and I figured he could fire it in there pretty good, but he walked about halfway the plate and just kind of chunked it in there. And, you know, some people age differently than others, and just depends on how many miles you got on you. I really believe that. A lot of guys I know that are my age that worked really hard for a living, I feel so bad for them. They're just... they're just beat up, wore down.
Yeah. Probably climbing those at least a million telephone poles didn't help me at all either.
You know, just hard work. And, I mean, look at the miles we've gone through and rough boat rides. And not to mention everything I did before I became a guide and sports and everything. And it just, I'm feeling it now, but hey, I'm coping with it. Get through it. Well, what did Clint Eastwood say? A man's got to know his limitations. So
that's exactly right.
You just got to.
I quote that all the time.
That's exactly right. That's one of the best quotes ever, huh? All right,
sir.
Bill. Well, go out there and rip some lips, man. Tear something's jaw out this morning. Give him out a number. Somebody wants to call you and come over and gimp out with you.
409-673-9211.
All right, buddy.
And, we'll get through it.
You have a good day. You be safe out there.
Thank you, sir.
See you, Bill, later. All right, that's Bill Watkins over Sabine Lake. You know, folks, if you're looking for the ultimate outdoor adventure, welcome to Rusty Hook Ranch, a premier hunting and fishing destination right in Matagorda, Texas. Whether you're after waterfowl, quail, thermal hog, or even alligator hunts, Rusty Hook Ranch has it all. And don't forget about their top-tier Matagorda Bay fishing charter. So, bring your friends, your clients. Let the boys at Rusty Hook Ranch take care of everything from five-star lodging, skeet shooting, and sporting clays to a fully stocked bass pond. That way your weekend here will be one you won't soon forget. So if you need a place for team building, family reunions, weddings, or other events, Rusty Hook Ranch, well, they can sleep up groups up to 40 and host events for up to 300 people. So why wait? Experience the best of Texas at Rusty Hook Ranch. Book your adventure today at RustyHookRanch.com. That's RustyHookRanch.com. Tell them Captain Mickey sent you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. 436. All right, let's head up to Conroe now. Let's check in with the fish dude. Good morning, Richard. What's up?
Not a lot, Mickey. How are you doing this morning?
Wonderful. Everything's good.
I heard that. I tell you what, that dang temperature took a big swing last night because it went from being in like 58 to all the way up to 73. So
it's 80 down here on the coast this morning. So
little
balmy, little balmy. But we got a front tonight. So
I'll tell you what, it finally got some dang old wind blowing yesterday. So them
right.
You know, yesterday morning was the strangest morning yet because it started off with a little breeze. I think I could blow harder than it was blowing out there, and it was just slick as glass all morning long. And we finished up, and I think we ended up with 39 pretty nice catfish. But man, we had to work our tails off for them and caught a ton of little ones. And then yesterday afternoon, got out there, you know, after I finished up with the morning stuff, cleaned the boat back up, headed out, and that dang south wind kicked in pretty good, and it was, you know, it was blowing about probably 8 to 10 miles an hour, and man, right. them big catfish fired it up. We kept 35, but we didn't even really stay that long. They were kind of having them a bachelor party, so it was one of those things where they said, hey, we don't want them, so you can have them if you want them, or we can turn them all back. So I went ahead and took me some to the house.
Heck so, yeah, fresh cat.
I mean, you can't beat that deal, I guarantee you. So, but we had some really nice ones that, you know, that we kept yesterday afternoon. And I'd gone to, yeah, there's one spot where I'd been catching some really good ones, and but if the wind doesn't blow at all, it's nothing but little ones. I mean,
yeah, isn't that something? That's crazy.
It's just the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
What's your mix right now? Are you catching about 50-50 channel and blues or what? Mostly blues?
Well, mostly channels right now, but I'm gonna say about a third of them are blue cats, you know, and as far as the bigger ones anyway. Now, when it comes to the little ones, I'm going to say 75% of them are blue cats. And when I say little, I'm talking about just barely bigger than your finger. I mean, them rascals are some little bitty ones, but I mean, there is a million of them out there. So it's one of them things. So, and this morning we're going to go do some bass fishing. So we'll see how all that works out. Cause you got a couple of different bass tournaments going on. You got they call it the Aggie Open. It's Texas A&M fishing team. Mm-hmm. They do kind of a fundraising tournament for them, and got that going on out of Stowaway this morning. Then down south, I'm not sure where they're going out of it. Maybe Margaritaville, but they got the weekend series, I believe, on the Conroe Bass stuff championship going on. So there's going to be several boats out there doing a lot of bass fishing this morning and throughout the day. So we're just going to kind of work on it, see what we can come up with. And, you know, I'm pretty confident we're going to do all right. You know, it just may not catch a bunch of big ones, but I've got a few of them smaller ones found, so I got to get in the boat here in a minute and go to rigging stuff up. So it's, it's one of those things where, you know, I'm going to rig up some wacky worms. I mean, good night. Them rascals been hitting them good enough, so I might as well keep on.
Yeah, I like catching them like that. That's fun.
Yeah, and then I'm actually going to put on a spook or two. So, you know, I don't know. Yeah, that's the thing. I know, and you know what I'm talking about. You never know the experience level of the people that you're getting in the boat, right?
That's true.
So you got to try to mix and match on what they're capable of doing, and it's all guesswork in the beginning. But as you go through the day, you kind of figure it out, you know. And that's I get so many people in the boat say, "Oh, I can't throw a bait caster," and I tell them, by the end of the day, you're gonna be able to throw a bait caster because it's you know, I'll teach you. You know, there's so many small little tricks that if you know, once you kind of figure it out, you're just a pro at it.
Right.
It doesn't take much. You know, it doesn't take much. Like one of the things I do when I'm teaching people about a bait caster is, number one, adjusting the dials on the side of your reel. You know, for the free spool and stuff like that.
Yeah, cast control. 'Cause you can,
yeah, I mean, you can make it where you don't backlash, and that's what everybody's so afraid of. And then I tell them all the time.
The throwback, though, is you don't get the distance. And as you get better with it, then you can go to backing off and loosening it up and turning it loose, you know.
That's exactly right. But then, you know, another thing is whenever you're, you know, it's kind of hard to explain without a visual, but most people think you need to hold that reel straight up and down, you know, and that's if you're right-handed, you want to roll that reel handle,
roll it
straight up
left.
In the air.
Yeah.
Yes, roll it to your left, make that handle stick straight up. And I always tell people, never aim at a spot, just aim at an area. So if you're aiming at a spot, most time you're going to land 10 feet from the side of the boat, and you're going to backlash like crazy. But if you aim at a spot out there, say you're aiming 100 yards away, and you release up in the air, you know, say 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, as you're releasing, then you have that handle turned over, you not only increase your distance, but it's just a smooth cast, and you start to get more and more comfortable with it as you go. And then, you know, like the backlashes, I mean, everybody knows that if you go to the fishing show, come into the seminar and watch me, I'm going to show you how to get a backlash out. I mean, that's one thing you got to do if you're going to throw a bait caster. I don't care who you are. Eventually, you're going to get a backlash. It doesn't matter. I mean, everybody does it. No matter if you've been throwing them 100 years, you're still going to get a backlash at some point. So just learn to deal with it, learn to get them out, and you do so much better when you gain that confidence that, hey, I can get a backlash out if I get it anyway, so I'm just not going to worry about it. It's a blast when you see somebody finally get it. And then, like, whenever I'm casting a bait anyway, I always tell people, when you're casting, watch your bait flying through the air and point your rod tip right at that bait, because that allows less resistance as it goes through your rod eyes, and it'll actually increase your cast by quite a bit. You know, sometimes, yeah, there you go. You know, I mean, and that's just following simple rules that you got to do casting them. You know, I get people, matter of fact, I had a guy the other day said, I always do better casting these bait casters sidearm. And I said, yeah, that's because you've got the reel handle turned like you need it to turn, and you're flicking your wrist. Because whenever you hold that reel straight up in the air, you know, where the spool's looking you in the face, your wrist is not designed to bend that way. You know what I mean? So once you roll that rod to the left, that's a natural movement for your wrist as you kind of use your wrist in your cast a lot more. And years ago, I used to do the same thing. I'd hold that spool straight up. By the end of the day, my wrist was so dang sore from casting. Oh, yeah. And it's like, good night, this is horrible. And then once you figure out, you know, roll it over, it's a natural movement. Something,
you know, throwing a bait caster, it's like throwing a baseball. I mean, if you can throw a baseball, you'll get it. You'll catch on
right
real quick. It's
that's
release
that's it.
Point, and you know, and as far as accuracy, once you get so good with it, I mean, you just throw where you look. It's like swinging a shotgun. You're going to put it where you're looking is where you're going to shoot.
That's exactly right. I mean, that, you know, that's one of the things that, you know, we take for granted because we've been doing it for so long.
Yeah.
You know, you wherever you're looking, that's where you cast to, you know, it's one of those things. But you know, it always tickles me when somebody tries to aim at a spot and then that thing lands 10 foot off the side of the boat.
They never even get close. That's right.
No. You just look in that direction and it'll get there.
I was looking at blue cats on their growth rate. We were talking about that. First year they grow 3 to 8 inches. And then three quarter to 1 pound per year after the first year. And
after that, they.
Yeah, adult growth on average, adult blue catfish can grow 1 to 2 pounds a year. And then some reaching 20 to 30 pounds or more, you know, over several years. So their growth rates are pretty good. So you're catching first year fish on them little things you're talking about. I mean, they were just hatched this spring.
I guarantee it. I guarantee you they were. I mean, that's what's crazy about it. There is some that are so small. They're almost translucent. You can see through them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. But I mean, you know, the bad part about them rascals is there's some finning little suckers. Them little rascals
got those
are
little
quick.
Needle fins, man.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah. They are. I guarantee
you. Go get all your gear rigged up and hope you. Yeah, well, I hope you get them. I mean, hey.
I heard that. We're going to try like heck anyway.
All right,
ain't
buddy.
No doubt.
Well, throw them out some info. Somebody wants to reach out to you and come up to Conroe and get after it.
All right, Mick, anyone get in touch with me at 936-661-7920. You can find me on Facebook. Just check out the Fish Tubes Guide Service. You can email me at admin@fishtubetx.com or just check out the webpage, fishtubetx.com.
All right, buddy. Richard, have a good day. Catch them up. I'll talk to you next week. Have a good weekend.
Yes, sir. Y'all have fun.
See you, man. Later. All right. That's the Fish Dude up on Conroe. All right, now we're going to head down Matagorda Way, and let's check in with Captain Charlie Paradosky. Charlie P., good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Fair to Midland.
That'll work.
Little stopped up this morning, but I'm all right.
Yeah.
Getting ready to fight the elements.
And boy, fight them elements.
With all these people down here
coming in tonight. Yeah, y'all are crowded up, man. Tommy was telling me about all the tournaments for the, you know, from last week to this week. It's just crazy. There's one every day.
Oh, yeah.
It's
like that every weekend in October. It just a lot of people on weekends. Yeah. But it was a lot of fish caught yesterday. Mickey, you know, I wonder about these weathermen. They just they don't get it right at all.
I just feel so foolish sometimes reading off these forecasts. When I'm looking at one thing and seeing and feeling another and having to read that off and go, man, where's this change really going to come from? Or is it going to come?
I don't know. I had one little shower come through me in West Bay yesterday, and that was it. I didn't see it. You know, there's a lot of crap out there in the Gulf. I don't know where it went. But I don't know who got the rain.
It dissipated. It just kept petering out. And the only thing I saw coming in was down around Lake Jackson, some little bitty showers, and that was it.
Yeah. And it was almost dead calm, you know. They were calling for all that damn wind. That's why I didn't go to East Bay.
Yeah, that's what they're calling for today, and it's not there yet. I'm not seeing it.
Yeah. You know, several of them went to East Bay and had a good day.
Yeah, I bet.
I know Tommy did, Bink did, Lee did.
Dang.
And that was all that was over there. Everybody else scattered around in West Bay, and a lot of fish in the river, you know, but they're catching a lot of little trout to get, you know, get some keepers.
Yeah.
And as soon as we get a couple of good fronts, there's going to be a lot of good fish in there.
Yeah,
a lot of good fish. So
as soon as we get that front tonight, I mean, we're going to have one pretty cool night on it, but it's going to warm right back up behind it. So, but we'll get a wind switch. We'll get that northeast wind again. Drier.
Well, that's our best wind for fishing around here right now.
Yes. Well, it's fall. That's where you want to be.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Anyway, you know, we got fish to catch. You just got to go and do it, and we're waiting for some better weather, colder weather.
Yeah. Did you wade yesterday?
No.
Boat fish?
No, I was taking care of people out of the boat, trying to find some redfish for them. We only had a couple of good keepers and one good drum's all we had, but some of the guys did pretty good. You know, that best bite's in the middle of the day right now.
Yeah.
In the middle of the day. So, Bink's running big trips out of his lodge, and you're back in at 11:30 or 12 o'clock. So, you know, you miss that good bite. But it's nice to get through early.
Well, it is.
Come home and wait for them baseball games.
Wait for the ball games, and man. Mariners won't go away. I mean, I was a little disappointed in those Seattle fans last night, though, when Springer took that fastball off the kneecap in the seventh inning. It sounded like it hit the bat, and
he's going to be done for a while.
I think so too. I mean, he tried to stay in, but the fans were. You know, they booing him when he comes to the plate. Anybody that was an Astros World Series winner, they're going to boo him.
Just
like they do Tuvey and everybody. But and then when he got hit, they celebrated it. And then when he started walking around trying to get it together where he was thinking about running, you know, taking first base, well, then they all started booing him again. And I'm going, man, come on.
Before that happened, though, he was hitting the ball. He was getting back at him. He was looking good.
Yeah, it was.
And that Suarez, they got him for one reason.
For just that's what
to
he
hit
did
a home
last
run.
Night. Two home runs
yeah,
last
that's
night
it.
With a grand salami.
He's either doing that or striking out.
Yeah, well, he's And look at Cal Raleigh. Got another one last night. Tied the game up when it went 2-2. You know, from the right-hand side. You know, how do you pitch him? I mean, when you're in a bind and you're changing pitchers and you're trying to bring – it doesn't matter for him. Just put in there who you think you're best, because he's going to switch it either side. Yeah. So they figured they'd turn him around to the right side, and he put one out of the park. So, hey, it's that's what I like about good baseball.
Stuff. Yeah. And then you go to the Dodgers and that old Tony, Jesus Christ. You see him hit that one out of the park?
Three home runs and threw 100 pitches, and what a beast.
How can you beat that? Jesus Christ.
All it takes is money, brother.
I don't know. I don't know who they're going to play, but it's going to.
Got the money. Where are they going to find another Ohtani?
I don't know. I don't know. But I don't know who will go against them, but it'll still be an entertaining series. You'll see a lot of the old timers around, and it'll be entertaining.
Yeah. You see Randy Johnson walk out the other night and throw that pitch. He's pretty. He's getting old fast, ain't he?
Oh, yeah, he had to walk up to throw it in.
Yeah.
I was surprised.
Yeah, I figured he'd knock the guy down like Nolan Ryan does at an over an age of that.
Yeah.
Nolan's going to go to the rubber. He's not going to step on the grass and throw a pitch.
It's good stuff. Good stuff. So.
A lot of good memories.
When is his next game? They're not going to play today, are they?
No, they'll be off today, and then they'll play in Toronto tomorrow, I think.
Tomorrow, yeah. All right.
The Dodgers can rest up and heal up and get ready for the winner of this.
Yeah, I hope they go stale, but it ain't going to happen.
I don't see it. There's just, I mean, you know,
too
you
much
get out of the
talent.
Top of the lineup, and you think you can coast a little bit in the bottom of the lineup, and the bottom of the lineup kills you.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Anyway, we'll get back at it today and see what happens.
Well, you can make it happen, Captain. It's the forecast shows one thing, and the conditions right now are another. So just roll with it. That's all you can do.
That's what we're gonna do.
No weather watching. Just go fishing.
Yep. I don't think there's any rain in the forecast at all, is there?
Nah, I think they threw in like a 20% this morning or something.
Did they? But,
yeah.
All right.
Far cry from yesterday. They had a better chance, but it wasn't any good. All right.
80% chance.
Yeah. Well, when I went on air, it was an 80% chance in Galveston. And then in the 5 o'clock hour, when I looked at it again, it was down to a 30%. I said, it's not going to rain today. They're already backing off. They're going to be no development. All right. Well, throw them out a number, Charlie. Somebody wants to come over and fish with you, man.
713-725-2401.
All right, buddy. Have a good day and a good weekend. See you now.
Take care, Mickey.
All right, Charlie. All right. All right, we're going to take a break. You're listening to The Outdoor Show. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.